This week on the program, this movie gets by on the horrendous jackets alone. It's cool as ice. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
Strawberry Cabin.
And we hate movies. Welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in. As always, that's right. We finally got around to this fucker. It's Cool as Ice from 1991, directed by David Kellogg, director of previous episode Inspector Gadget, multiple nice. Music videos, and several Playboy video specials.
Have we done all his narratives now, out of curiosity? I think so,
yes.
There's only two.
So we've knocked out the narratives of David Kellogg.
Now, but how would people feel about us doing those Playboy videos on the Side Order of Sleaze?
Oh, I'm sure there's a bunch of fucking perverts out there that want us to review skin videos. Well,
it's just like, okay, so then she goes in front of this waterfall, right? And it's like, what?
What is with the oil being poured on her back?
Well, sorry. If that doesn't work, we could do the Michael Jackson Jam video.
There you go.
I think legally we would have to do, by the way, legally you have to drink when you're talking about Cool as Ice. That's
sure. We're all cracking open because guess what,
absolutely.
Folks?
Fuck it. I heard those cracks and I cracked too.
Hey,
it's
man,
the 5:30 fucking whistle, man.
Hey, I will say this, though. Not only do you have to be drinking to talk about this movie, you definitely better be fucked up on something when you're watching it. And whether that's booze or whether that's fucking flour or whether you are just huffing spray paint. Because I watched this sober this morning and I was like, what am I doing with my life?
Huge mistake.
Huge mistake. No, I know. And I mean, the only other time I watched this was in the old Astoria days, back in like the early baby days of WHM.
I do really think the spray paint's the way to go with this one.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's the one you really need.
This is a party movie.
Speaking of, can I ask, have I seen this movie before? Because I swear that I haven't.
I'm telling you, Steve, the four of us were watching this movie at the old Astoria apartment. I swear to God, you were next to me on that bad futon.
It happened. Don't tell me it didn't happen.
The real question is, do you remember?
No. Oh, no. Everything was brand new to me last night. I swear to God.
I had one section that was brand new to me, and I'm going to go out on a limb here, everybody, and say that it was a complete and total green out situation. I had zero memory of child kidnapping in this movie.
Yes.
That was a pleasant surprise.
Well, something had to happen. This movie's got nothing going on.
Absolutely.
Something had to
nothing.
Break the window. Something had to break the stereo.
Somebody had to ride the motorcycle in the desert. Somebody had to hang out at the abandoned construction site.
That's where we should start, really, is it does... Take the romance angle out of this.
Okay.
They relate to him much as if he is Howard the Duck.
Yeah, he's a total alien.
Or a mischievous dog. one or the other. It's like there's one part where the girl, Kathy, says, like, he doesn't know what he's doing. And I'm like, that's what you would say to Beethoven.
To add on to this theory of yours, Chris, when they're driving through this suburban town and there's a bunch of, like, older people, like a businessman, a guy in his riding mower, and a little kid, and they're all gawking at him and the whole gang, like they are from outer space.
Well, dude, there's a thing on the IMDb Tribune trivia that says that this is like a loose remake of The Wild One, and I'm like,
bullshit.
No, this is a fucking loose remake of The Man Who Fell to Earth, dude.
Well, he even says when they're at that construction site, right, I can see that they get it on at that construction site.
They're getting it wet. She loses her virginity. She loses her virginity that afternoon, guaranteed.
But he's sitting, and so one of the only times he ever reveals stuff about himself is like being sensitive or whatever. And he's like, "So what's it like?" And she's like, "What? Having parents?"
Yeah.
And, I mean, like, that is, I mean, I guess it's supposed to mean like he's, what do you call it, a hard scrabble. Like, he didn't grow up with anybody. But it just really sounds like, so what's it like converting, like, food into energy?
Yo, I was hatched from an egg, kid.
Yeah, what's it like being, like, mostly water and shit?
My mother was a large chicken beast. Hatched me in the middle of a field.
Yo, my heart is in my ass, son, because that is the physiological makeup of my alien race, bitch.
I have never had a haircut. This is how it came out from the beginning.
Oh, dude, my God. These are actually horns. What? Dude,
this we got to talk about this haircut.
I know. He's like Mackle-less.
Oh my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my fucking God. Holy shit. Did confetti fall in your house, too, when that happened?
No, I just shit my pants.
We have to have fun while we're in quarantine.
Oh,
right,
sure. Right, actually, you know what, though? But the Mackle-less is actually pretty funny.
Thank you.
And this episode might be either 26 minutes long or 3 hours. I'm not sure.
Hey, we'll see, man. I think the running time of the motion picture itself is around 93.
Dude, but that's a lie. Like Chris said, because yep. we start with this music video. That the movie proper starts 6 minutes in, and then it takes... Then like 7 minutes before the credits, you get another music video. So there's really like, what is that? Like 70 something minutes of like quote unquote story.
And then the whole last 10 minutes are a music video.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's crazy. It's like this movie is like 19 montages strung together with bad jackets and shitty music.
I will say they have to have this beginning. They have their biggest stars in this scene. It's Naomi Campbell.
Dude, the credit is fuck. Dude, I got a real cackle out of special appearance by Naomi Campbell. Okay, thanks for gracing us with your presence.
She says hi to him. Yeah, like that's literally it. That's the whole thing.
And he's dancing around in this video. It's like a lot of music videos in the early 90s in some abandoned factory.
Oh, sure. A CNC music factory, possibly.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The old CNC music factory that burned down 40 years ago.
But it kind of looks like the set of when he did the ninja rap in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes, it definitely does. Yeah. Dude, the turtles were hanging out backstage blowing rails waiting for him to finish the set.
The CNC Music Factory constantly asked if you could feel the vibration. Those were the flames.
They made us dance all the time.
Dude, he's dancing with his baseball cap on, and it's that obnoxious trend of leave the tag on, man.
I mean, that kind of came back. That hugely came back like the last couple of years. I haven't seen it in a little bit. Not that I'm on the pulse of anything, but this was like especially egregious. Where it's like it's flapping like it's like pretty much like a flap to the hat. Almost.
Yeah, you're making a baseball cap into like a little beanie. Versus now, where it's like a sticker or something.
Yes,
like
you keep the sticker on the show, it's official, et cetera.
Which, either way, I mean, it's gross. It's
yeah, so, I guess I'm so also dumb. Against the flap cap. I guess so.
We should point out, by the way, another shocking credit is that the director of photography on this movie is Janusz Kaminski. Mm-hmm. Fucking Spielberg's dude.
Yeah.
It looks gorgeous.
They tapped him for Schindler's List because he already filmed Atrocities. A lot of experience.
This movie, because of that, it's illegal how good this movie looks. Like, it has no business looking this good.
He's having a lot of fun, too. Like, those dark scenes with just, like, the flashlights going everywhere. He's having a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Now, here's my question, though. So, this music video, Vanilla Ice is vanilla icing all over the cake. And my question is, him as this character of Johnny, right? Mm. Is Johnny like a performer, or are we like not acknowledging that every once in a while this dude is just singing a song?
No, I think he's a rapper. I think the idea is they're a rap band going town. I mean, and again, I'm making all this up because none of this is even remotely explained in this film.
Right.
They're a rap band going town to town doing stuff.
And watch out when they break down, because if one of these motorcycles break down, then guess what? He decides to feed on the young women of the town. And he's like 24 when they're making this movie. So, but like, she's a senior in high school. It's still a little.
Yeah, no, little. They definitely have sexual intercourse in that fucking
the field
there.
Yeah,
yes,
but he preys on the town folks' children.
Yeah, well, an alien's got to eat, dude.
Yes. And I'm going to push back a little bit on the band, Rap Troubadours.
Okay.
That's what I think we're dealing with here. Because
yeah,
it doesn't
you're right.
seem like he has like a career or that he has reports to anybody.
No,
to like
well, he's
get something
I think,
going.
Well, that's the thing, dude. They will rap anywhere, anytime. So it's like a legitimate club or a fucking warehouse or in front of those old people's garage.
So he's like a medieval bard.
Yeah. He's like the actors from the Seventh Seal.
Yeah, exactly.
welcome back to giving them more credit than they ever deserved.
Oh, shit. We wound up at this castle. We've been dead the whole time. Yo, damn.
Oh, yo, Death, this chess game is whack.
Yo, damn, son. We got consumed by the Black Death.
Yo, Death's on the beach.
Oh, yo, fam. Let's run up this hill with the people's choice.
Oh, my God.
Yo, for real. You know how to play chess? I don't know.
Yo, shit, it's like checkers with horses.
I think I died in that storm. Damn. But I do. Oh, that's another fan. And I very rarely go in for fan theories in films. But when there's nothing in the movie, I think he might be dead the whole time. I think because everything is so. It's like Tim Burton, what do you call it there?
It's like Edward otherworldly, yeah.
Edward Scissorhands-esque, this like suburb. You know
yes,
what I mean?
It very much is. And that, like, the first. Let's say, I don't know, 15 minutes of this movie when you're trying to like your brain is trying to adjust to what the tone is. And yeah, it's kind of like the town from Edward Scissorhands, but like even fucking weirder. It's a real like here's another thing. I mean, talk about Seventh Seal. I truly believe that this band is in purgatory.
Yeah,
because they're just they're stuck in this no name town. Right. And it's like these people are taking forever to fix this one guy's motorcycle.
Yes.
They're kind of just like living there. There's so many weird sequences where you're just watching these kids like hanging out, waiting for this motorcycle to be fixed by fucking Godot, the mechanic,
who is one of Ratchet's boys from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Absolutely. I want something done.
Sidney Lassick was the guy's name. The actor that is playing Roscoe in this movie. I think, what was his name in Cuckoo's Nest? Cheswick or something?
Cheswick, yeah.
That sounds right.
Nice. Excellent.
I will say, like, yeah. Aesthetically wise, you certainly are not surprised to find out that this guy goes on to do Inspector Gadget.
Yes.
It does look awfully like it.
I read that he disowned this film at some point, and I'm like, why? Like,
I don't know. Yeah, you're not in a position to disown anything.
Exactly.
I tried to find a source, and I couldn't. I was like, is there an interview I can dig in on, like, the Kellogg stuff? But no.
That seems like it's probably, I ran into this dude in the fucking mall and asked him about Cool as Ice, and that's what he told me.
Excuse me, sir. Are you David Kellogg, director of Cool as Ice?
I'm sorry
to bother you in this Whole Foods.
I disown Cool as Ice, but that Michael Jackson video, yeah, I'm close with Michael. I like him. I think he's a good boy.
Playboy Presents Oily Asses Volume 7. Yeah, that's my masterpiece.
Is it Oily Asses? All right, okay. Interesting.
Yeah, but the sad, it was a different take for Playboy because they're just skin oil. It was just kind of like they're just kind of oily skin. It's kind of gross.
No, it's always like sensual surprises or something like that.
Oh, they're all, I mean, it's all garbage.
Well, that was a surprise, but a sensual one.
At least it was a sensual surprise.
Or like Twilight Times or like some fucking, you know.
Somehow Oily Asses resurfaced. Well, it's a sensual surprise.
Now I'm trying to find one because, okay, so let's see. He has work featured in Playboy : The Best of Wet and Wild from 1992.
Excellent, excellent. He didn't lose on that.
Let's see, Playboy Video Playmate Calendar from 1991.
Oh, you know what? Giannis shot that too.
Here's the one I was thinking of. Playboy Wet and Wild from 1989. That was a good year for the Wet and Wild series.
I bet.
Can we talk about how this movie starts off with Vanilla Ice committing attempted murder on this girl?
It's crazy. So they ride into town and the fat one, we'll call him, his bike breaks down. This guy is played by, hold on, because he's a big ER guy, Deezer D.
Yeah, he was on ER as like a nurse or something, but he's also like a Christian rapper.
Yes.
His name is amazing.
He's Jazz. He's the fat one in this one, and his bike breaks down. They think because he's so fat.
Oh, is that right? I missed that remark.
No, they're like, oh, you're breaking your bike because you're so fat and stuff like that. That's funny.
Well, I guess that explains why he makes the worst sandwich in cinema later in the film.
But they're driving past, and it's very like, it looks like it's like that scene in Hot Shots, like that's trying to parody the Top Gun bit.
Yep.
Yeah, totally. And it also reminded me a little bit of Adaptation because it's like motorcycle versus horse.
True Lies.
Absolutely. So yeah, like they're like driving along and it's like, oh, scope out that babe on a horse. Let's go fuck with her. And like,
this is insane. This dude, is like murder.
Dude, for the first of two times in this movie, Vanilla Ice commits a sick jump on a motorcycle. He like drives over this woman, scares the horse, gets her thrown off the horse. Yeah. Could have fucking killed her right there. And then he's like, yo, what's the problem? Why'd you punch me in the stomach after I did that?
Oh, shit, I got kicked in the head like Don Draper's dad. Oh, I'm dead now.
Yo, do you name your horse?
Dude, yeah, you cannot fucking go around scaring horses while people are on them.
Do you name your horse? That was so good. Chris, did Mr. Hands name his zoo animal?
I forget, honestly. It's been a while, Eric, I gotta tell you.
I was just curious if it had a name.
It probably did.
Hands back with a brand new edition.
They paid him enough, he would have done it.
Ripping your insides out with your huge horse dick.
If this is your first episode, Zoo is a documentary film that comes up a lot. It's from 2007. Don't watch it.
I can't believe we didn't celebrate the 13th anniversary yet, Kevin.
Hey, well, sucker MCs can't fuck these horses.
It'd be cool if he started fucking a horse right then in front of her. Like,
well, because he's an alien. He doesn't know. He's like, yeah, this is what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, stand back, miss. I'm here to romance the horse.
So, like, they have this exchange, and, like, she punches him in the stomach, and he goes, yep, yep, she likes me. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. By the way, the actress playing the character Kathy, the actress is Kristen Minter, who some of you may know as one of the bevy of children in the McAllister family in the Home Alone movies.
Well, she's the one that sets it all off on the wrong foot because she does the false count.
Oh, she's the fucking count fuck up.
Yes.
Fucking patient zero, man.
She also was on ER for a bit, I think.
Big ER movie, this one. Gwyneth Paltrow passed on this. A lot of people passed, but apparently like, Gwyneth Paltrow was like really kind of recruited for this movie, and her dad said, do not do this movie, which is the smartest thing
anyone's
ever said to anybody.
Bruce Paltrow, you're a genius, dude.
Now, she's not the one who says les incompetents.
Yeah, you know what the French call les incompetents?
No, she's not one of the teasing ones. She's like the old eldest one, trusted with the count, and then that kid's like, does this car get four-wheel drive?
Yeah.
And like she thinks it's Kevin.
What it is, I think she's like the oldest kid of the aunt and uncle.
Oh, right.
Because that's the thing that's hard to distinguish in that movie, because you got like cousins and the McAllisters all together.
Those McAllisters breed like fucking rats, dude.
Dude, that family's disgusting.
I was just about to say, if you can't recognize a member of your family, they're not, you know, maybe you guys aren't really that much of a family. Like,
maybe start wrapping it up, John Hurd. You need less kids. You can't keep track of them.
That fucking cavernous house, dude. Fucking either burn it down or have like five families live in there.
Absolutely.
Just, come on, John Hurd. Just get the snip. It's not that bad, so I hear.
So let's talk about Home Alone for 40 minutes.
I'm okay with that. Sure, let's talk about that. I'm good with that.
There's an annoying thing, like when this dude's bike breaks down and they're like looking at it in the middle of the street and like all these people start honking the horn.
Amazing.
And it's
like, just to stop in traffic like that. What are you doing?
Dude, it's insane. But at the same time, it's like, you know what? Other cars, like you can just drive around these people.
Yes, you definitely can.
By the way, the female member of the gang, Princess, that's what I read in the credits. I don't think she has a line. I think she just laughs a few times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
She was played. She played Patrice, the young horny sister in Coming to America.
Oh yes,
which is a great, great movie. Great,
aka
credit.
The best movie.
I gotta rewatch that. It's been like 20 years since I've seen it. But I saw that movie like 1,000 times 20 years ago, and then I stopped watching it for no good reason.
That's Home Alone for me. I hardly remember that movie.
I'll tell you the thing, funny enough, Coming to America just came up recently. I like flipped the input on my TV, like from the Apple TV over to the cable box to put something on. And the cable box had landed on BET. And I got doing something on my iPad, so it was just on. And then, like, Coming to America was on. And I was like, oh, cool. I'll keep this on for a little bit. I haven't watched it in a while. Dude, Coming to America, edited for television, is one of the most pointless things you could ever watch in your life. It was. I was sitting there. It's like the entire thing was just bleeps.
At least they're bleeping. It's I find a bleep more soothing than like changing into like forking. Yeah. Or whatever.
I think it was like it was probably a healthy mix. A bleeping, I should say, like the where you like drop the audio out, not like an actual.
Oh yeah, the audio
sensor
drop.
Bleep.
But audio there drops was all the rage now.
Did they just blur Louis Anderson's face out of that movie? Or no?
they put like a cartoon dog over it. No, I mean, well, I think though it must have a famous television edit where they are changing lines because I tweeted about watching it on. Like BET just broadcast and it was censored. And all of these people started tweeting at me what can only be like the adjusted lines.
That's funny. You know,
I was like, okay, that's a lot. I wasn't paying attention long enough, but like, Jesus, totally pointless. Also pointless, Cool as Ice, the motion picture. So they break down and they break down right outside like this old couple's house, the aforementioned dude from Cuckoo's Nest and this other lady, and they like get in. Also, this is kind of like the beginning of a horror movie.
Yes.
Because they're like invited into this old couple's house to wait while they do these repairs. And I'm like, when is someone coming out with the sledgehammer for these kids?
Yeah, this smells of motel hell.
Yes, Kevin, good reference.
Their house cannot be explained enough. It's got a globe theme.
It's Pee-wee's Playhouse. It's Pee-wee's dad.
Yeah, it's a white trash Pee-wee's Playhouse.
So it does lend to the whole serial killer vibe, but this is more like these kids are the horror, because and the horror just ends up being like, yo, we're living here now. With you.
But no, they want them there. They're like, oh, you know, we can fix your bike and blah blah blah, and they're like, yeah, you can fix this, and like, no one's actually like having conversations or saying things to each other, and they start like fucking hammering at it like it's a fucking Lars von Trier movie, and then like, we're here forever, and then
yes,
Vanilla Ice like goes to sleep in a wedding dress in a bathtub for an hour.
And one of his members in his crew eats a fucking peanut butter pickle and sardine sandwich.
Excuse me, there's also a pineapple and disgusting yellow mustard.
So this is the alien angle. It's there.
Yep. You're totally right. It all is starting to come together.
Bunch of poochies.
One of my favorite, like, we're just doing a thing and like you're just looking at something and it's not even a movie, is like there's dead silence. There's kind of like maybe a little bit of music in the background while they're waiting around while the repairs are going on. It's kind of when this guy's making the sandwich. And Ice is just like dancing out in the driveway. Yes. to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Just very quietly. It's so quiet you can like hear his feet shuffling on the pavement. And this is when the fucking Corvette shows up.
Well, this is how he communicates back with his mother planet, is he dances. It's a dancing language and it's quite exquisite, I have to say.
And this is our introduction to Kathy and her boyfriend, Nick.
You know what Nick rhymes with? Dick.
Oh, yeah.
We'll find that out soon. But Kathy was introduced when she fell off the horse. But yes.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
This is like the big conflict of this film is that this girl has a boyfriend right now.
Right.
There's no other conflict.
And again, like, not only did I think that, not only do I not have any recollection of seeing this movie 7 to 8 years ago, I also really just thought that this was like a movie where it's like there's country clubs, it's a snobs versus slobs thing, and this kidnapping and witness protection angle, I do not remember a lick of it.
Yeah, dude, it's here to stay, my friend.
And snobs versus slobs would have been way, way better.
Oh, of course.
Bigger cast, at least at that point.
Bigger cast, like you get someone who's like, and you know, no offense to Michael Gross, I think he's a total legend, but like you get someone in that dad role with like a little more gravitas, and he's like the president of the country club.
It just makes sense. And then it's like, oh, you know, the only way there's a battle of the bands at the country club and blah, blah, blah. And Nick's band's going to play, but Ice's band is going to play and yada, yada, yada. The movie writes itself.
We just made a better fucking Cool as Ice in under 7 seconds.
It's one of those situations, too, where because it's Vanilla Ice, you have to make this guy the worst person on earth to make Vanilla Ice even somewhat of a good option.
Dude, like, they're one step removed from making this character a child murderer just so Vanilla Ice can look good in this movie.
We're coming up on the Twin Peaks scene with him.
Yes, we are. But
now, hang on a second, though.
I just want to point out
that Nick, this boyfriend, played by actor John Newton, I swear, because who knows how long this quarantine's going on. We should say recording this episode April the 15th, 2020 for quarantine posterity's sake. This actor plays Kyle in the last season of Melrose Place.
Oh, wow.
He's, or is he Ryan?
Same
yes,
difference.
Yes. No. Sorry. His name, the character's name is Ryan. He's Kyle's long-lost brother, played by Rob Estes, who we've not gotten to yet on the show.
I thought he would be like Jake's bastard child.
At what point does Ice run, steal her planner, her Filofax, much like the film Filofax, also known as Taking Care of Business.
It's pretty much when
was it the horse?
I don't think it's the horse. I think it's when he's out in front of the house. It's where he tells her very hilariously to drop that zero and get with the hero.
I think
it's around this exchange.
Did
right
Vanilla
here.
Ice originate that phrase, or what are we talking here?
I don't know.
I want to check it out on Phrasepedia.
No. You know who that was? That was Philip Roth.
Okay, I think that's
chalk that one up for movie magic.
But no, I remember that line from The Plot Against America, Kevin.
Nick is immediately unlikable, and he's immediately doing this thing where he's just like, you have to go to, I don't even know, like, you have to go to the same college as me because couples that don't stay together in college break up and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, clearly not having any of this. She's like, yeah, that's sort of the point.
I thought he was advocating to break up with her.
No, he wants her to go to the same college because.
Oh, I see.
Because he's like, you know, he understands he's a little above his weight here and is trying to stick with it.
Right, he's like a stupid rich guy.
Yes.
And she's like a hardworking middle class chick. But yeah, I guess she's. Do they mention it? Like she's on her way to an Ivy League school or something like that. This news report that her family watches.
Yes, the news.
This is. It's exactly where we are right here. So there is a weird. Did you guys catch this? It's a totally unsettling. It's just. It's a thing you would do in a music video, but it's like the fast camera of like the family sitting in the house.
Yes.
And it's like when you're using stuff like that, it's to display like, frantic, environments or a wild situation.
Sure.
This is literally, it's just being used to show a family sitting in their living room.
It's a big music video thing. It's an effect that you would find all the time. So, of course, he's using it. He's doing what he knows.
It is a thing where, it would be a passage of time thing. But, like, yeah, it is just sort of to show that these are a white bread, middle American family, yada, yada, yada.
Oh, generally, you don't also appear on television if you're in the witness protection program.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, I think there's no point in beating around the bush here. I think we just have to explain what's going on here.
Because she's on, and it's just like a good kid police report or a news report. It's like, this is a good kid in our town. She's doing great.
Look at these grades. Oh my God. Like
teen of the month or something.
Oh, dude.
Teen of the month club.
I'm subscribed to the teen of the month club. Uh-oh. I get it every single month.
But it's a weird, like, they say that she had got like a 1600 on her SATs. Whatever. She's a fucking horseback riding champion. She, is doing well in school. She's got a 4.0 GPA.
She started Home Alone. Like, things are going great for her.
Was a child actor in Home Alone.
But yeah, there's this woman interviewing her, and right next to her is her dad, and the dad is just like. He, it's kind of funny because and Michael Gross A does rule. He's the dad on Family Ties. And
absolutely.
He's in, Tremors.
Like
100 Tremors movies.
Oh, Steve, Michael Gross question for you.
Sure.
Was if you remember back to our totally, speaking of Pee-wee's Playhouse, our fucking totally rad senior year college apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a picture of Michael Gross on your door? Or was that James Seeking?
Oh, God. I think it was Michael Gross. I think it was Michael Gross.
Was it?
Yeah. Okay. So only Michael Gross or you could enter that room.
And sadly, only I entered that room.
We never could secure Michael Gross for a public appearance.
Or so you think. Hi, I'm Michael Gross, and I've been sleeping in your bed.
Whenever you go to class, I take a nap.
Oh, you've got a lot of pornography, Stephen. I've watched all of it. It's sensational.
Could you imagine a Hollywood caliber actor like him settling in those dirty sheets.
Hollywood caliber is exactly correct, Eric. Because that dude is doing some fucking Hallmark movies.
Oh, man. So they watch this thing, and while they're watching it, we have a cut to Jack McGee, who was like the chief on Rescue Me, and some other guy. And the guy, Jack McGee's like, guess who I just saw on TV? And then it cuts away from those dudes for a long while, so you don't really know what's going on there.
Oh, by the way, I love how Michael Gross, when interviewed, is like still trying to be in the witness protection program. Yes. He's like, all right, let me just cover my face ever so slightly while I'm talking.
Well, it's like, the move is, hey, Dad, I'm getting interviewed for Teen of the Month. That's great, sweetheart. Don't, you know, just give your fake name and everything's going to be fine. And like, you have to be on it too. Like, well, I can't because I'm busy.
Yeah, exactly. Or it's like, oh no, sweetheart, like this is your moment. It shouldn't be a thing for a 50-year-old guy to be in.
It would be hilarious if it cuts to the gangster or the corrupt cop, as we find out, and he sees Michael Gross with the fingers over his face like that. He's like, why are they interviewing this lady all alone? Where's her father? Where's her foot? What, there's nobody else here with her? There should be some parent.
Weird disembodied voice.
Or he takes out a photo of Michael Gross and puts his fingers up to the face. I'm like, hold on a second. Hold on a second.
Dude, that would have been the move. I would have been laughing my ass off still right now.
But yeah, so they're in the witness protection program because Michael Gross used to be a cop and there were corrupt cops and he kind of ratted on everybody and they all went away and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, so he's a piece of shit.
Dude, it should have been, the backstory should have been what they did for Mike the Cleaner on Better Call Saul, which is that he's an ex-Philly cop who finds out that there's like some crooked cops and he goes back to Philly and he just fucking murders them in the street. That would have been the move. But instead, yes, witness protection program, which we find out in a fucking hilarious heart-to-heart scene later. But so they watch this news thing and then...
Yeah, honey, I'm eating my egg noodles with ketchup like a schnook.
Well, that's probably what they're eating for dinner, dude. The parents are like, oh, hey, Nick, you want to stay for dinner? And he gets out of there. So it's just the daughter, Kathy, and the son, I think, is Billy. Do you guys catch us, by the way? I don't think we're paying for the rights to see it, but we can hear the theme song from Super Mario World 3 for Nintendo.
I was unsure if it was 3 or 2. Thank you for confirming.
I'm pretty sure that it was 3.
The timeline makes sense.
Yeah. And so she finds out, she's like, oh, fuck, I can't find my planner, blah, blah, blah. And the kid's like, ah, fuck you. I don't know. Why don't you retrace your steps? And there is a line in here, which I was truly shocked made into this movie. She's like, okay, so, you know, I didn't have it here. I didn't have it there. Where was I before that? Oh, I was at Nick's house. And she goes, and I didn't touch it at Nick's house. And this little brother starts laughing hysterically.
Yeah. Well, he's a little sex-crazed little fucking cretin is what he is.
He's a little pervert, dude. This kid was in The Sandlot a few years later too.
Yes, he was.
Which one does he play, Cabin? You remember?
I think he's fuck.
Is he the sand or the lot?
He's the lot, Eric.
Okay.
But yeah, I forget his name. He's not one of the main ones.
He's a backup guy.
I have to bring it up because I'm gonna watch this movie eventually. It is, oh god, what is it called?
The Pruder film?
No, it's a it's a movie that Giannis what's this guy's name? Giannis Kaminsky? Or?
Yeah, Giannis Kaminsky.
Giannis Kaminsky shot this before Cool as Ice. It's called Grim Prairie Tales, and it's got James Earl Jones and Brad Dourif, and it's an anthology movie about cowboys sitting around, an anthology horror movie about cowboys sitting around a fire telling each other scary stories, and the wig I could see from James Earl Jones is pretty exciting.
Oh my god.
Yeah. He did like I looked this up too. I forgot the details, but there's one like maybe before this one, where it's just like, ooh, the dreaded night stalking person, you know, it's like a horror movie.
One of those deals. Yeah. So yeah, she's she realizes that Ice has it. Ice comes back to her. What happens here? This is when the goons show up.
So the goons come up because she realizes that Ice ripped her off, and she goes outside, and he's there, and the goons are there.
Yes,
and so Michael Gross, it's very important. Michael Gross spies that Vanilla Ice is talking to the goons, but it's insofar as like, hey, what are you doing here?
I don't know, kid. What are you doing here?
He wants to know the directions to the Sugar Shack, which only be a cocaine brewery.
Yep.
You're totally a place right, where they fucking brew different kinds of cocaine for you to sniff at the table.
Welcome to the Sugar Shack. All of our coke here is family style. So we just put it out in the middle of the table.
I'll start with a schnoz brown, please.
And we are proud to say that all of the cocaine here at the Sugar Shack is indeed airport to table.
I'll have a honker stout.
We ask if you have a heart attack, please do it outside. It's a little distracting for our other patrons.
Now, if your ticker's pretty strong, though, and you can get through a couple of our boiler makers back to back to back, you'll get yourself a free Sugar Shack t-shirt.
And we have bags here for you to stab when you need. Just here at the end, because you know you get a little hyped up. I know.
We have a special dessert as well, which is sort of like a creme brulee, but it's a burnt cocaine known as crack.
Just to let you know, because it distracts some people sometimes, but most of our patrons love it. Yes, Heart of Glass is on repeat. Just on repeat.
Oh, I love it. So that's what happens. She goes to meet Nick at the Sugar Shack, and then Ice shows up at the house, and the mother is like, one, horny as all get out for Vanilla Ice, even though she's kind of scared of him. But she's like, she's at the Sugar Shack. and he's like, damn, the Sugar Shack. All right. And then like he asks these goons for directions. That's what it is.
Yo, fat Italian. Tell me how to get to the Sugar Shack.
And they're like, yeah, why don't you go up your mother's asshole and take a left, all right?
The most disgusting thing in the world happens right here.
This band that's playing at the Sugar Shack?
No, the serial killer next to the main guy, the other corrupt cop.
The tall, skinny guy, yeah.
They are eating fast food, and as they're getting ready to go, this guy, like a bird feeding its young, drops fucking food out of his mouth onto the fucking pavement.
I missed that entirely.
He spits it out like it's a cigarette or something. Like, what are you talking about? That's food.
I missed that too, my lord. Was this the same guy that was going like, oh, I want a bag of hamburgers?
Yes.
Well, the weird thing is, like, theme going on this month is bag of hamburgers.
You're totally right, dude.
The two guys, one of them, you know, the rescue me dude is like just totally regular, like your classic, and it's very Home Alone-esque, right? They're goofy, they're goonish.
Absolutely. He's Clark, played by Jack McGee. And then the other guy is Morrissey, hilariously.
Who is scary as fuck. Like, I don't know what movie he thinks he's in, but it's not Cool as Ice.
This dude's like, oh, wait a minute, I didn't finish reading the script. We don't kill that kid.
I kidnapped a child. And now the boy is dead. He's dead. He's dead. He's dead. He's dead. Oh, Morrissey jokes.
They go to the Sugar Shack. There is a twin rock band playing. Anyone get this? Look at these twins.
Yeah, it was disgusting.
They were eerie.
They were.
And this dude that's like singing, he looks like Noel from Frasier.
Oh yeah, and those two girls are at the booth, and they're like, James was always cool.
Twin Peaks season 3 reference, dude.
I mean, this is kind of, the Sugar Shack does kind of feel like that bar if that bar sucked.
It's that and like fucking like the fireman's ball, like the fucking old Polish bar movies.
Yes.
Oh, the Milos Forman's fireman's ball.
It looks like there's union representatives there.
It does have a Satan Tango-esque kind of vibe as well.
It's because all of these people in this town have been suffering in purgatory for centuries, dude.
My big question about this scene and the dynamics of this film, because you know, Ice-T is supposed to be this bad boy.
Hang up, Vanilla Ice.
Oh shit!
Ice-T's not disgracing himself in this film, sir.
Vanilla Ice. Maybe I'll call. What is this character's name? Johnny.
Johnny.
Johnny. Johnny Van something. And the actor Vanilla Ice.
Rob Van Winkle.
Oh, I was gonna say Rip, but I think you're right. So he's supposed to be a bad boy from out of town, and then this Nick guy is, he's drinking alcohol. Maybe he's bad.
Did Dude, and it's a thing that I cannot stand, especially when someone's bragging about it, which I have seen in person. When you're sneaking alcohol into a bar and you're like, man, look, I got my own stash. Yeah. And it's like, dude, go to the bar.
Yes, obviously. But what do you think fucking Johnny's up to? He's this cool, quote unquote, cool, like a rap personality. He's doing something.
Well, that's a weird thing is that's the only. And again, this movie is like it's I didn't check the rating. It's probably PG or PG-13. So PG. Johnny has to be totally clean, which doesn't make a ton of sense.
Right. Like he's straight edge or something.
Yes.
I will tell you the coolest thing about Johnny is he has a Jim Jarmusch jacket. He's got this right, jacket with down by law on the back.
Yeah,
I think
totally.
I saw only Lovers Left Alive on the sleeve.
Yeah, on this sleeve over here, it says Limits of Control.
Yo, Roberto Bonini is brilliant.
Yo, check out what it says across the left pocket. Dead man. So there's a really uncomfortable thing where Johnny's like swilling vodka out of this bottle.
No, we're getting them mixed up. Nick is drinking.
Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ. Yeah, you're right.
Oh, Nick, by the way, that movie Ghost Dog's based on me.
Oh, he does fight just as well as the samurai himself,
dude.
Fucking
fight scene.
Nick is like getting tanked and whatnot. And he's like, what's the matter, Kathy? Don't you want to take a pull? And she's like, I don't know, man. This club clearly sucks ass. And he's like, yeah, well, why don't we go for a drive or something? And she's like, dude, you have been drinking.
Yes.
And it's again, it's like we have to make Vanilla Ice look so awesome in this movie that now this dude, this like villain guy is like getting super excited to drive drunk.
And there's this other band playing just real again. They're bad rock, and Ice and his crew are not having it. This is when they unplug their music in the middle of their
takeover
in their set, and then and again, like this goes to your point of like being troubadours. Like they're not booked to play this club, and I'm not sure what they never talk about their manager or their next gig is like. Let's just sow chaos.
That's exactly right. It's nothing about like, yo, we got to play this place so we can someday get a record deal.
Yes.
Or any, it's none of that. It's just like, yeah, we're doing it for the love of the music.
Yep.
The fact that there's no timetable is insane. Like maybe they got a gig, they got to go. There should be a ticking clock of some kind.
Well, that's exactly what it is, dude. They're on tour and it's like, oh man, we broke down in this weird Tim Burton town.
You say so chaos. I say liberate mine.
Got it.
Right. They freak out a lot of squares in this, Chris.
They do. They break them out of their fucking routine.
Right. Like Neo in the Matrix, right?
Uh-huh.
They start singing he starts singing, his band doesn't do shit, The People's Choice, which is a great song.
So let me ask you this. I've never actually looked this up, but the thought occurred to me watching this movie. So at some point, Vanilla Ice had like a full LP.
Yes.
With presumably more than like 8 songs on it.
Yeah.
Are all of these songs coming from the same album that Ice Ice Baby is on?
No, they are not. I don't think the first song isn't, I'm going to say this word in interpolation of a small track on the first record, but the sex song the People's Choice, I think, are not on that record.
Okay, so you're telling me that in the early 90s, Vanilla Ice then had at least 2 albums.
Yeah.
Well, that's fucking crazy.
And we don't even get Ice Ice Baby in this film.
No. Well, I think that's part of the thing, though, right? Is like, yo, I got to do something to get me away from that song.
That was, you know? I mean, that was bothering me. I kept expecting at some point, he's just going to do it. You know what I mean? Like, do it, dude.
Right.
I mean,
but it's like you can't though. I mean, it's his big movie thing. It's like I gotta prove I'm more than Ice Ice Baby, baby.
Vanilla Ice is like kind of amazing, and like his second record was a live album.
Is that right?
Yes,
it's awesome. He must be great live. He must be a great performer.
I mean, here's the thing: to say something nice about Rob Van Winkle, aka Vanilla Ice, I don't care for his fucking horrible rap, but. This dude can dance like a motherfucker.
Yes.
And he's dancing up a storm in this movie. And it actually is pretty great to watch. I will just say that.
And you know, he's the whole thing is like he's a good looking white dude that can
dance. He's handsome as hell too.
That's kind of crazy.
That is a big fucking noggin. When I saw that giant head come on screen and I looked up his age, I was like, this guy's like 30 in this movie, right? No, 24.
Wow,
that's a huge head.
He looks like the son of Max Headroom.
Yes, he does exactly. He's kind of, you're right, Chris. He's kind of like a sexy Matt Frewer.
A little bit.
Oh my God, you're totally right.
I mean, not to say Max Frewer is not sexy.
Well, dude, you catch Matt Frewer in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids? Good Lord.
Matt Frewer,
we're working for you.
Matt Frewer and Tom Noonan used to hit the town and just pick up babes.
Oh, dude, the two of them could have gone out. You could concoct a great story about how they were brothers. Mm-hmm. You know, they do look well enough alike.
Dude, if you're Matt, a tall, skinny guy, you're just going to do all right no matter what.
Yep.
Matt, we're going to Pound Town. Get in the car.
Hey, man. Witness me, right? Yeah, witness me. Look at this.
Hey, honey, you want to be in a real Eiffel Tower? Because we're so fucking incredibly tall and scary.
So he takes over the performance space here. They do this song. Which song is it?
This is a People's Choice, and everyone's everyone's so upset that they're like, oh my God, what's happening? Except for Christy, who's like, I want to fuck that guy. Which, yeah, sure, why not? Kathy.
Yeah.
Jack. Oh, he's calling her Cat this whole movie, and she's always like, that's not my name, dude.
But that's like, he's gonna give you a sexy nickname. He meets
for sure.
You're getting a sexy nickname. Even you, Steve, you get one.
Oh, that's exciting.
I don't know what it would be, but
little Stevie.
Oh, no.
Or Teve.
Teve. That would be my sexy Vanilla Ice nickname.
We get into some sexy dancing right here, though, dude. He spies Kathy in the crowd, and they start going into Dance Town, and poor fucking alcoholic Nick is just staring on.
Nick wasn't getting... He was beyond the point of coming back from that, for that evening at least.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. But it's here, too, that she's like, by the way, you have 24 hours to return my fucking planner.
And at that, it's kind of funny, the clock, which also doesn't matter. To Eric's point, this movie needs a clock, because at some point during this night, the goons go up to Michael Gross, like, oh, hey, Johnny, how's it going? He's like, that's not my name anymore. And it's like, you got 24 hours to give us $500,000. Talk to you later.
Yeah. Oh, we're coming back to this pie shop. Hear me, Jimmy?
Oh, dude, it's fucking a history of violence.
So Nick acts like a total asshole in the parking lot, doing one of those, like, she's walking away because he's wasted and she's going to walk home. And he does the scream out, get in the car. And you're like, oh, man. And so Kathy walks home, and like, here's where these corrupt cops are, like, behind her with the headlights on. And I don't think they're going to entirely run her down, but try to, like, scare her a little bit. And this is where Vanilla Ice, like, rides in and, like, cuts them off on his motorcycle. He's like, get on. We got to go.
I will say one thing what I learned today is that Vanilla Ice did most of his motorcycle stunts because he was apparently, like, a motocross guy.
Oh, that checks.
Yeah, so he's doing a lot of this work. Because he's not wearing a helmet at all in this movie, by the way.
No, and it's clearly a lot of this is him definitely driving the motorcycle.
Although some of the hats he wears could cover a helmet underneath them.
That's true.
And one of them has armor on them. Like one of these caps. Oh, yeah. It's reflective armor plating.
He's also wearing these like Jean-Paul Gaultier sunglasses the whole time.
Oh, we mentioned the haircut, but like he's even got a little like rat tail.
We have not talked about the haircut enough because it's
a rat tail?
Yeah, dude. He's got like a little tied up big, like little, is the hair, yes, his hair is short, but he's got like a rat tail in the back.
Wow,
and then he's got these
notice.
Mazes.
I mean, I think you can see, I think you can see anything in that haircut if you look at it at the right. Like, I think the Zelda triangle is in there somewhere.
Yo, Barbara, give me the magic eye.
Oh, shit, a sailboat. It's a schooner.
Eric, I think one of them is supposed to be like the one side of his head is supposed to be shaved like a brick wall.
Yes, and the other one's like spiky stuff.
Yeah, and the other side is the map to Westworld or whatever Ed Harris was looking for.
Fucking haircut by MC Escher.
Yes.
Yo, look at this haircut. It's an infinite staircase.
It's like, what is the perspective am I supposed to be looking? Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a bunch of geese, but if you look at it this way, it's like they're flying and then they're swimming like fish. Figure it out.
Hypnotizing. Nope.
So Ice comes out of the club at one point and he sees, I guess he drops her off or some shit. Cause the next thing I'm recalling here is that, he finds Nick bashing all these motorcycles.
I think he's going back to get his boys and stuff. Cause he drops her off and she's like, you got 24 hours, buddy. And like, they're flirting. Right. They're into it. She wants to fuck him for sure.
Yeah. And but then there's this like street fight out in front of the fucking sugar shack.
This is the real Twin Peaks scene. Because there's this fucking train going by in the background. There's this old couple in the dark watching the fight.
Yes, dude, this old couple, they're sitting in rocking chairs saying nothing.
It's happening like it's outside of a house, it looks like.
Got a light.
Yes. Got a light. It is the Got a Light people are watching Vanilla Ice beat up these fucking dudes.
And like, yeah, like, and he's just obviously awesome. And that's a problem in the movie. Like, he never fails ever. He's just great at everything aside from emoting and acting. But like, you know, he's catching their punches. Like, one guy gets him from behind, but he just has all the moves.
Yeah. There's a hilarious shot where Kathy's laying in bed trying to think about Vanilla Ice, but instead she's just listening to her parents fight about being in witness protection in the other room.
They're like, call the agency. He's like, I tried. It didn't work. First of all, what fucking... Why, they really cut these people loose, huh?
Is it the next morning or this... Or maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, but I just want to quickly mention that he like dips ice into her mouth to wake her up.
Oh, this morning. That's this next scene. It's how he wakes her up.
I do. I tweeted about this. It's the most fascinating thing I've ever seen. Is she sleeps with a plate, a flat plate with three lemons on it next to her bed.
I saw where an alarm clock
might be.
I saw you tweet that last night, dude. And I was waiting for it. And I gotta tell you, as insane and amazing as that is, which also it must just make the room kind of smell nice.
Whoa, wait. You guys don't know how to use the three lemons? It's really easy. You don't need alarm clocks anymore.
Something that I think totally tops the lemons, though, Steve, I'm sorry to break it to you.
Oh, please.
Is the fucking no more than a medium-sized fishbowl with about 40 little blue fish in it.
It's torture.
Dude, it's total torture. They'd be eating each other alive.
Speaking of torture, the water treatment he gives her.
Yeah, well, she's
waterboarding this woman.
Well, it's terrifying.
Ice cram.
And it's like super sexy, obviously, right? He puts it all over her lips. And it's like, oh. And then he's like, oh, you can't be quiet. We can't let mommy and daddy know I'm here. And it's like, shit, dude, this is pretty getting creepy.
I could have sworn, like, the way that this happened, because she's like, when it cuts from the parents arguing, right? It's like the middle of the night, she's trying to go to sleep, but she can't. And then immediately cuts to a close up of this actress, and he's fucking, you know, putting the ice cube down and whatever. And she's got, there's like a fucking little drool line of water that's left over or whatever. I thought she was like supposed to be having a sexy dream about him because it's so insane that he would sneak into her room at the crack of dawn.
You are making it sound almost romantic. This is a guy in his mid-20s doing a breaking and entering and molesting a high school student.
Yes, that's absolutely true.
It's fucking crazy.
And he uses the words like, mommy and daddy, which you should not do in this scene, ladies and gentlemen.
Or you know what, Steve? In any scene that doesn't involve like an adult talking to a little kid.
Yo, good morning, my love. I broke into your house.
Guess what? Your family is dead.
Yo, this house is on fire. Literally.
We're gonna make love on your brother's corpse. Yo.
Yo, that would be hot.
I took your father down in the basement like in cold blood and fucking shot him.
Book was dope.
Yo, I watched this film, Funny Games, and I hit your father in the fucking face with a golf club.
I asked your mother for some eggs.
I just love the idea of him also just reading Truman Capote.
Yeah, other voices, other rooms fucking rocks, yo. Shit.
music for chameleons is my shit.
But so, like, they're talking, and he gives the day planner back. She, like, stole some business cards from him. I didn't understand what this was.
I was confused. I think it's his ID, and at some point there's a business card for somebody else named Monique. And she uses this the entire movie as like her own thing that she could do in this movie because she has nothing to do anyway.
Well, she's just like start in the music video. A girl gives him her number and she's okay. Monique. And so she's like, oh, I'm jealous now. You got a girl's number, I guess.
That's Monique played by an actress named Bobby Brown.
Oh,
and I got to tell you just really quickly, this filmography. Of course, an appearance on Baywatch Nights. Mm-hmm. She plays Video Babe in Last Action Hero. And in Eric, one of your all-time favorite movies, one of the films from the oeuvre of the Barbarian Brothers, she plays Peter's girlfriend in Double Trouble.
Oh, interesting. Now, I don't remember Double Trouble too well. Now, Think Big, that was my shit.
Oh, I see.
Well, I want David Carradine and with the Barbarian Brothers. One of them just died, I think.
But yeah. Oh, fuck, RIPD.
Oh, but wait, you skipped the big thing. She married Whitney Houston.
Yeah, she did.
Oh, right, I totally forgot about that.
And then what, like, sold, like, the home videos or something?
Jesus, yeah.
Anyway, yeah, she's someone you see at the beginning of the movie and then never again.
And you know, that's kind of their thing. The little brother shows up and he's like, hey, how's it going? Oh man, you got a cool bike outside. And he's like, yeah, little kid, maybe I'll give you a ride sometime. And he's like, after you're done making sex with my sister.
Oh man, douche, chill. That's uncomfortable. And she freaks out and like kicks this little sandlot kid out of the room and whatever. And he's like, yo, I'll be outside waiting for you whenever it is you're ready. Feel free to take a shower.
Yo, don't worry, little man. I'm going to describe what I did to her.
And he jumps out this window. And this, I have to say, is the most beautiful shot in the movie.
I agree.
Like he steps outside and it's like dawn and the camera does this nice like turnaround. And I was expecting like when it's done doing this like 180, you're going to see Michael Gross standing there like disapprovingly. But he's not. It's just this great shot of, you know, an American suburban neighborhood. And then the sprinkler turns on. He runs for the hills because, dude, that is too close to taking a shower for this guy.
The best part, and he's definitely wearing the clothes from the night before, absolutely, because they have no bags or anything. Like, what do these people just exist on motorcycles?
That's a great question. Not a lick of luggage, huh?
I don't understand it. It's very weird. They are so otherworldly. Like, what are they doing?
Yo, it turns out these humans wear more than one uniform. It's just insane.
He calls the kid Slick like he's Tom Sizemore in Heat. It's really... This relationship with the brother really irks me, man. This is the one part I was really not into. Eventually,
but it's another thing that he's good at, though, dude, because the other boyfriend, Dick there, Nick, is like, oh, yeah, you can take a ride in my car some other time. He's like, you always lie to me, Nick. And, like, again, because... Vanilla Ice is the best every single time. He's like instantly great with the kid, buddy with him kind of a thing.
And like seeing Vanilla Ice have sex with his sister is so inspiring that he even gets a haircut to mimic Vanilla Ice a little later in the film. That's a fun moment for everyone.
See, it is a fun moment for everyone.
He goes, he takes her on a motorcycle ride. They go to a construction site. This is sort of their like falling in love montage ?
Now this film released in 1991, so figure production in 90, but man, a fucking glorious holdover from the beautiful 80s. The second Ice hits the fucking pedal on this motorcycle and they go off on this montage adventure, the saxophone kicks in so gloriously right here. I kind of perked up a little bit. But
it's
good. This is the
best music in the movie.
Oh, absolutely. This is the heart to heart, like, yo, what's it like to have a family? Which is just,
yo,
oh, it tickled
I just got to ask, what is it that you people do in the bathroom at all? I go in there, I just see a bowl of water and I'm like, what?
Yo, do you eat with your mouth?
Hey, guys, it turns out we don't eat with butts. Stop putting food in your butt.
That dude's taking that pickle sandwich out of his ass. This, like, montage of fun that they have is so great. He, like, there's a lot of, like, ice-isms that get thrown out right here. The best of which, I think, is, if you live your life for someone else, well, you ain't living. Excellent. And that, he's really speaking to Kat right here, because it's like, yo, you're going to always do what your daddy says or what?
Again,
which is like the thing through this whole movie.
And that is the way this movie ends, at a country club where her dad is like, Harump, I cannot believe you're worth Vanilla Ice. And then like she tells him she's going to live her own way. But that does not happen.
No. No, and it needs to, dude. And I can picture it now. Like, he's harumphing in the corner of the country club ballroom.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yo, Pops, this one's for you. Check it. Dun, 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 dun,
sure.
Dun, you know, and that's like a fucking phenomenal end to motion picture cool design.
Mic drop and say, I'm taking your daughter to ISIS. That's that.
This scene culminates with her kissing him, and it's one of the funniest fucking things I've ever... Well, it actually doesn't, because they continue making out later in a separate montage that happens 3 minutes after the other montage ends. But when she lays one on him initially right here when they're talking, he goes, like he just smelled like good cookies. Oh, I was laughing again.
But in the second montage, they're in a field. They fall down together under the, you know, into the brush. And it's like they fucked there, right? Or this is when the fucking has to happen.
Absolutely.
But it's not just the fields. They're like on the salt flats at some point.
I don't know.
But yes, it's both. And I'm like, where does this movie take place? It's very weird. Well, but this is also where you see Vanilla Ice learning to ride a horse.
The alien species, of course, can just like blip and go to another part of the
right. Oh, sure.
I definitely think it's an alien situation. She actually says, like, where are you from? And he says, around. Yep, yep. And I think yep, yep might be the name of the planet in the around galaxy or constellation.
Yo, I'm from yep, yep, 7.
Yep, yep, I'm a yep, yepian.
Ooh, it was a secret Gleep glossary episode. I love it.
Dude, yeah. Yeah, the Yep Yep 7 clan, man. They fucking fought for the rebellion.
Yeah, I was a jizz player. What?
Yeah, I played the Mos Eisley Cantina.
It's a Gleep Glock's choice.
Figuring Dan, drop it.
The overload of Yep Yep said that you gotta be yourself.
A jizz whaler, really? A man of your talent?
Dude, another fucking hilarious thing about this extended montage of them in the desert is he definitely just has his shirt off at one point, and he's like, yo, this is how you ride a motorcycle. Let me teach you. First, shirt off. So he drops her off after an entire day of hanging out in a field, in a meadow,
we get
in a
some
desert.
Grade A harumphing from Michael Gross here. He's like, where have you been all day? Harumph.
Yeah, and this is where he tells off Vanilla Ice. He's like, you stay away from my daughter, all that stuff.
I thought it was her choice. What?
I mean, his suspicions are right, because he sees this mysterious stranger who looks like and talks like he's from another planet, talking with these, you know, the bad men from, I guess, I don't know, where, New York? I don't know.
Right? Well, that's the thing.
Yeah, you never really get an origin.
It is so ill-defined.
It is so ill-defined. Also, like, I don't know, man, like, the thing is, like, if I'm in witness protection and the guys that I'm hiding out from find me, it's fucking highway time, everybody. Like, we're not, there's no next day for Christy to have for Kat to have a fun time with Vanilla Ice. We are on the highway that fucking night.
And to your point, dude, about that, that's why later in this movie, when this fucking, the younger son is kidnapped by these guys, it's like, wait a second, Michael Gross. You and your wife fucking went to work?
Yes, I know.
And you left this kid at like Little League, and your teenage daughter was supposed to pick him up, and you come home, you've been grocery shopping? Like, the fucking cops are after you.
Well, Kathy, the quarterly payments are due. What do you want me to do?
Oh, I got this mixed up. I'm Michael Gross. I thought it was Michael Grocery.
Oh, my God. That's, wow.
It's good. Eat it, pigs. It's quarantine time.
No, here's your podcast slop.
Exactly. I know how you like it. Extra sloppy.
This is where Michael Gross has a little confrontation with the missus, and she's like, we have to tell her. And so he has just like this fucking hilarious mondo. This was the scene where I noticed all the fish in the fishbowl.
Yes, it was 100 of them.
He's like, my name was James Hackett. James Anthony Hackett. And tells this whole thing about they were Jimmy and Sarah Hackett, and he was a fucking rad ex-cop, the whole thing.
And the funny thing is, like, at the end of it, she's like, but why can't I see Vanilla Ice? My reality has been, she gets over this pretty quickly. Like, the fact that everything she's been told is a fucking lie.
That your last name is fake.
Yep. Your parents aren't who they've been telling you they are for the last 18 years. It's quite amazing.
You got a secret Serpico in your house.
It's a secret bit Serpico, of a thing. Better movie.
Oh, man. So then because of this and because of Michael Gross's suspicions, he's like, oh, and by the way, your fucking friend Vanilla Ice, Johnny, is involved with them. So you got to stay away from them. And so the next morning, like, they've tentatively made plans to go fuck in the field again. And instead, like, Kat tells Johnny that it's over with. And, you know, there's this kind of great shot where, like, Vanilla Ice is just pushing this motorcycle backwards to follow her down the sidewalk.
And, like, he just goes back to the house where his friends have been staying in hell with these old people who are, like, just pound. And again, like, it's so, like, art film-esque the way that they're playing these doofuses. They're like pounding at this fucking motorcycle with toasters trying to fix it. It's like so bizarre.
I just don't know what Mr. Kellogg was going for here. It's like, it's truly something. And at this point, I should mention something I wanted to talk about with the interior design of this house. The fucking living room that has like a motivational lines like all over written all over the walls. Oh, yeah. And the furniture, there's just like fucking sentences painted on the walls. What is that?
Sure. It's pure madness.
Fucking Tim Robbins house.
It's just like, it's so, we're like, someone just like vomited and that was the fucking production design for this house. It's totally crazy. They have another montage where Vanilla Ice is like brooding while, you know, Kat tries to go hang out with her friends and they're like, oh, you should talk to Nick and try to get him back, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, I think Michael Gross had a line like Nick was hospitalized.
Yes.
Oh, right.
Amazing. For a broken nose, apparently.
So Johnny comes back to the house and the little boy Tommy is there and he's like, oh, you know, Kat went out or whatever, but you promised me a ride on that motorcycle. And he takes this kid out, and it's kind of funny because they see Nick like in his Corvette, and the kid like gives him the finger.
Well, here's the thing. This kid comes up to him and he's like, yo, what's up? And he's like, yeah, I told everybody I was supposed to be at Little League, but I'm with you. Let's go on your motorcycle. And I'm like, nah, son, you got to go back to your parents. Because if I took you anywhere, that'd be kidnapping.
or so I understand it from the rules I read on my space way here.
Like, it's totally illegal to take a kid somewhere without his parents knowing. It's not all right. The kid doesn't get to make that decision.
Little man, call me when you're 18, and then I'll still talk about your mommy and daddy to you.
Yeah, they go off, and he does give him the middle finger. This is when he gives himself this horrific haircut. It's not even a haircut. It's like, he just puts, like, gel in it.
Yeah, it's disgusting is what it is. This kid looks disgusting.
Fresh cut, little man, says Rip Van Winkle.
And he's like, oh yeah, you like it, Johnny? I did it myself. And Vanilla Ice is like, yeah, I can tell.
Can we talk about I think it's in the, what do you call it, scene, the construction scene when they're flirting, and she's like, well, so what's your real name, Johnny what? And he goes, I think she says, oh, so your name is Johnny, and like, it's this weird like fucking Kill Bill Volume 1 shit where they don't say his name properly, and I don't understand it.
It turns out he's Johnny Rockets.
Yeah, I don't know why we are going to such lengths to make this guy like so mysterious. Like, it doesn't make any sense. But so he drops the kid off, and when he does, Kathy has given him this ring that she had, and she, you know, when she gives it to him, she's like, yeah, well, this is something that Nick doesn't have. So, like, he sneaks into her room and drops it in the fishbowl and kind of, like, bounces.
Yeah, another breaking and entering.
Yep, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, we're no longer married, or so I understand it.
From your primitive Earth culture.
What ring was this?
It was just a ring that she was wearing.
Oh, okay. That she
just like some jewelry she had. Got it. Yeah.
I don't want your great-grandmother's trash.
Yo, I don't care if this came from the old country. I'm going to throw it in this fishbowl.
Am I supposed to eat this?
Oh, it's great food for you.
And so this is the... So nobody's supposed to be home, I guess, is the idea. And these fucking corrupt cops come in, break into the house. They're threatening the kid. And he's like, I'm going to call 911. I saw it on America's Most Wanted. And this other guy, who's definitely in a fucking totally different movie, is like, oh, yeah? Did you see the one that I was on? And I'm like, what are you doing?
It is totally disturbing.
And he pulls out the phone wire. It's amazing. It's an amazing performance by this man.
It is so scary. It is so, so scary.
So they fucking kidnap him.
They kidnap him, and she comes home, and she's, like, flopping all over the house. She finds the ring immediately somehow. She's like, I guess she checks her fishbowl for rings every day. And she's just like, you know, she's just a sad, moody teen, blah, blah, blah. And again, yeah, the parents come back with, like, groceries. They rented videos. They're just, like, they're in for the, they're just hanging. They will not be deterred by this, by their past life catching up with them. I guess that's what they learned.
I mean, I get it, dude. It's, like, the dumbest fucking move. Like, it, there should be, you know, and maybe there is. I don't know. I've never had to be in witness protection that you know of.
Oh.
But, like, you know, maybe there's, like, a binder, like a break-in-case-of-emergency binder. And it's, like, if the people who were originally threatening your life show back up at your house, here's a number that you can call, and we'll get you out of there, and, you know, whatever else.
There was some line about, like, oh, did you call the marshal or whatever? He's like, well, yes, I did. Nothing happened. It was some weird, like... It seems like they maybe implied that they tried that.
Hey, you got Marshall McCathers. I'm out of the office this weekend, and if your life is in danger, just wait till Monday. I'll talk to you later.
Oh, we swear we would have called, but we have a game night with the Johnsons on Friday.
Listen, gentlemen, could you extort $500,000 from me perhaps next week? It's more convenient. We have a game night with the Johnsons.
So the two guys, the two crooked cops, have left an envelope on the doorstep. So this is another, like, Vanilla Ice shows up at the front door, picks it up
to
just be like,
part.
You know, like, oh yeah, I'm giving this to you. You know, but again, like, you should, you, I mean, he doesn't know to specify this because he doesn't know he's under suspicion in that way, but I would be like, this was on your doorstep.
Exactly.
You know, yes. Right when I got here, so I'm now, not giving it to you.
Now it's like mistaken identity type of thing. But right before that, he was convinced to go over by his group of followers, I guess, because he's kind of a David Koresh as well. And the the proprietors of this garage house, and they say, like, you can't leave without saying goodbye. You got to go say goodbye to her.
Well, because we have to go to the next.
You got
to
give her a real goodbye.
We got to go to the next planet, dude. The next, the next system needs us.
So he fucking takes off after this, and they listen to this fucking tape. Oh, is it funny?
And it's
it is
so
this
chilling.
Kid, he's being forced to read his own fucking hostage tape. Oh, God.
And he's like, I am doing well, father. How are you? Mother, yep. I am being fed well.
And it's like, oh, if you give them what they want, I'll come home. If you don't, I won't. And I'm like, hey, cool as ice. Awesome.
It was at especially the reading of this hostage tape, the listening of this hostage tape, that I was like, I was really fucked up the only other time I saw this movie. I don't remember this at all. So they freak the fuck out. Nick comes by and he says, and again, this is another wrong man situation. He's like, oh, I saw Tommy a little while ago. He was with Vanilla Ice on the motorcycle. So this, like, cements Michael Gross's position that Vanilla Ice is, you know, in on it with the two cops. But she takes the fucking tape to Vanilla Ice and Friends, and has them listen to it. And this is like, Vanilla Ice has the audacity to tell this lady that she needs to see a psychiatrist.
Amazing. That's right when she shows up. She shows up and she's like, Johnny, I need to talk to you. You need to talk to a psychiatrist.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It is fucked up.
And then, like, fucking George C. Scott and the Changeling re-listening to this fucking tape over and over again. He's like, yo, what's that sound on the tape? You hear that banging sound? And he's, like, rewinding it and playing it. No, 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 shut up, listen, I think a ghost is on this tape.
Yo, 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 computer, enhance.
He's like Travolta in Blowout. Is that an owl I see here in the background?
Okay, let me count it down. Hoot, hoot, hoot. Puncture sound. Tire screeching. Car goes over bridge. Bam, hits that water.
Yeah, so obviously the stranger to the town can pinpoint the location of by course. Sound.
Yep,
well, absolutely. It's the one place you fucked, Eric, so he always remembers that.
That's how this scene starts, and it's so awkward when you're watching it because you're watching this piece of machinery like slam into like a metal panel on the ground, and it happens repeatedly as they're like driving up, and you're like, what is the point of that? And it's only so at the end of this movie, you, the audience member sitting in the theater during opening weekend of Cool as Ice, can be like, oh shit, the kids at the construction site. Well done, Detective Ice.
Dude, Detective Ice, better movie. Absolutely.
Totally.
I'm new on the force.
Yo, he could have been in a movie with like fucking Jim Belushi or some shit where they're two fuck up detectives.
Absolutely.
The only thing I remember him also being in is one of the Sandler movies.
He's in That's My Boy.
Yep. Okay.
In what I'm told is a very extensive role. I've never seen that movie.
Well, we talked about it a little bit. He's also in the same year, by the way, in Ninja Turtles 2.
Yes.
Mm. That's the best movie.
Yeah. Better movie, yeah, for sure.
It's just kind of crazy that they are at the same year because you'd figure like somebody, you know, a producer on this movie would have seen him in Ninja Turtles 2. And then it's like, oh, he could be in a movie. But I mean, same year. That's very surprising.
Just everyone wanted to get it because that song was huge. It was huge a year before. And it's like, that guy's going to be it. He's right. It.
They tried to push him and then it gave way to this. And they're like, nah.
Never mind.
I mean, that would reinforce the alien thing for Kathy. Yo, I'm friends with talking turtles.
Yeah, that's actually true. So, yeah, he realizes that, you know, he's like, oh, to the construction site, motorcycle gang.
Yo, should we call the cops? Absolutely not.
So they go up there and like the machine isn't turned on, so they can't find the clanking noise or whatever. And so then it's like these two goons have this kid in an unfinished house and they're like, you know, this what's his name? Jack McGee, whatever the actor is like, you know, oh, there you are, my pretty babies. Yeah, look at you on your sexy motorcycles. Yeah, can't find us without the clanging, can you?
Yo, Morrissey, turn around. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, the motorcycles. Oh, yeah. Don't look, Morrissey. Don't turn around.
Morrissey has a great line around here about how the fat's gone to your head because he gets paranoid and he's like hearing something.
But he's also like, I'm going to, he's just taunting this child. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, that's actually pretty great because like there's no lights on, it's an unfinished house, so these dudes just have flashlights and he's like flashing it in the kid's face like, "Woo, who's gonna get killed? Who's gonna get their face cut off?" And it's like, again, dude, someone tell the guy playing Morrissey that this isn't fucking Seven.
Show him Home Alone. Like, you're Daniel Stern, that's what you're doing. You have to be goofy and garish.
Absolutely. And it was just the year before, guaranteed the actor S.A. Griffin playing Morrissey fucking saw that movie.
Although this is what Kevin McAllister deserved.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
Oh, so I love it, man. Just fucking out of nowhere, these motorcycles drive through this drywall. It is hysterical.
And there's another fight scene. It's even worse than the first one. I don't know. It takes an hour for some reason. This is like two dudes versus three guys. Game over. You got it.
Oh, no, he kind of kicked him again. Oh, no. Well, oh, wait, no. He's kind of kicking him again.
That's what's insane, though, is that in that first fight scene, Vanilla Ice beats the shit out of everyone in that fight circle. Like, very swiftly, single-handedly, whatever. And they're, like, young dudes, right? And so, like, this scene, he's fighting Morrissey, this fucking 50-year-old dude, and he's kind of getting his ass kicked. And I was like, no, you can't do it that way. Like, if he very swiftly beats up these young guys, this guy's no fucking match for Vanilla Ice. Yeah.
There needs to be a gun. There needs to be a knife. Something.
Yep, exactly.
They're shown to have guns. I don't know why they don't use them.
No, a gun is not fired in this movie. You got to keep that PG-13, dude. Which is weird also because this movie was Universal, so it's not like a thing where it was like Touchstone Pictures, which is like actually owned, you know, it's like a Disney thing, and you know, we got to keep shit. Like, those are like the secret Disney pseudo adult movies. Like, this has been going around because like Splash is on Disney Plus and they edited out Daryl Hannah's ass at the end of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I saw that. That's really stupid,
dude. Did you see it though? Like, the clip, they give her like, it's a digitally. They like digitally lengthen her hair.
Why are we like, why are we making like a, we're stigmatizing asses now? Like, an ass doesn't necessarily have to be a sexual delight. Sure, it can be, but
it doesn't have to be. Look at Larry the Cable Guy's entire comedy career.
Exactly. You're not blurring him out. And I guarantee if Disney Plus acquired all the Larry Cable Guy movies, they would even add crack.
Hey, cool, I'm blurred out.
And guess what, dude? You don't get to, if you don't like the ass in Splash, you don't get to show the movie. How about that? You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
That's it.
Mr. That movie is ass.
Mr.
That's
Iger,
why you watch it.
Mr. Iger, we have to keep the butts. No. No, we have to. It's part of the movie. No, they don't exist. Butts don't exist.
No ifs, ands, or butts, and I mean it. That extends to actual buttocks.
B-U-T-S and B-U-double-T-S. So like Jack McGee gets his fucking head thrown through the wall by the gang, which is pretty cool. And did I catch this right? Does Vanilla Ice kick Morrissey in the balls at the end of this?
It looks like
it could easily be, you know, taken as like a kick to the stomach, but it looks like he fucking lifted his leg up and stamped this dude right in the balls.
Oh, man, I got to rewatch it. Thankfully, I bought it on Amazon. Straight up buy.
Why did you buy it, dude? I was able to rent it.
Classic film.
Dude, if you thought it was so classic, you would buy some fucking disc media, my friend.
That's fair.
I'm thinking it doesn't happen because I don't remember the cartoon bird sound being played at any time.
or like a boing.
Yeah.
Nerds. Yeah, exactly. You don't get a nerd in there.
God, my nerds.
He hit my balls. He hit my balls.
I would love in one of these movies, it's a totally regular kids comedy movie, right? And like,
that's fun.
He gets a fucking sledgehammer in the nuts and the boyoing sounds. And like, you keep expecting him to get up, but he's like bleeding through his mouth. Like, I can't make it. I fucking can't make it.
Oh, dude, does the testicles come out of his mouth?
Exactly. He just dies on the floor.
Because the balls, it's the balls that'll bring us together.
It's like Quint when he gets the second bite.
Just screaming as blood comes out of the sides of your mouth.
My nuts!
It's like, well, everything in Cool as Ice was PG up until that happened, and now it's a hard R rating.
Yeah, you gotta get it somehow.
Better movie, man.
It still all appears on Disney Plus, but it's blurred.
So he brings everybody back, and everyone, and like Michael Gross is like, well, I guess I was wrong about you. And he like,
yep.
They shake hands, and he's like, yeah, whatever.
Dude, it's actually kind of a fucking confusing line or whatever, because he's like, like Michael Gross apologizes to Vanilla Ice and says thanks, and Vanilla Ice just goes, doesn't really matter.
Yeah, don't know what that means.
I was like, what? I mean, I get it. He's an alien. He's still trying to get a grasp on the English language.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Daddy, now you owe me $500,000.
Oh, shit. And the VIG is running, dude.
Absolutely. Yo, this movie hasn't had a clock until right now. That bitch is ticking.
it's good for you. My planet's currency is ketchup.
That's why I came down here. I'm a billionaire.
Oh, wow. This is perfect. I'm Michael Grocery, and I happen to have ketchup.
So then Michael Gross is like, you know, oh, not too late now. Fucking this grown man. And they kind of have a little conversation here. And she goes, he says something like, yeah, well, aren't you going off to college? And she's like, college doesn't start tomorrow, smart ass. To which he replies, then let's G-O.
Yeah.
Ugh. Oh, yeah.
I meant jerk. Oh, is that jerk off? Is jerk off with a G?
Yo, oh, only shit, losers say go.
It should be longer.
Yo, you're a school girl. I'm going to teach you the alphabet.
And Nick shows up just to be like, what is going on here?
And he says there's a great exchange right here, actually, with him and Vanilla Ice, because he's like, all right, Kathy, well, you know what? You're never going to see me again if you go off on that hoodlum's motorcycle or like whatever it is. And he just goes, imagine that, and fucking drives off.
He drives off, and then he's like, I hope you enjoy being a biker chick or whatever. And it's like, that's not what a biker chick, whatever, man. Fine. And then like Vanilla Ice goes, hold on, I just realized I gotta end the movie. And he drives back around and he uses Nick's car to do another sick jump. It's pretty fun.
It's pretty fun, and he doesn't scare the living daylights out of a horse this time.
Oh, that horse has to be killed, by the way.
Oh, yeah, that horse is definitely dead. And then it just ends with another music video.
We don't know where this is, but it's in the narrative because she's there, and she's like, I'll call it iced out. You know what I mean? Like, she's been dressed conservatively this whole film, very like wholesomely, and now she's got like a cool, you know, fly girl's haircut kind of a thing going on.
Absolutely. She's got some makeup on. She's wearing like a tight dress. She's at a Vanilla Ice concert.
She's finally her own person, just living under the thumb of another boyfriend.
Well, listen, you got to meet my parents on my home planet. You got to dress like us.
And what I realized actually as this movie ended right here was that as the movie's dumb fucking mafia or corrupt cop child kidnapping thing like really kicks into high gear, there's a long stretch of this movie where there's no Vanilla Ice dancing or singing.
Yes.
And you're like, wait a second, they should have just made this like a full-on Vanilla Ice musical movie where they're really punching in songs and dance numbers and shit, because you just lose sight of it, and then it's like, oh yeah, I forgot. He kind of like sings and dances in this movie a little bit. I
mean, that's right. They should pepper it throughout for sure. This should be like a staple. It should be like Blues Brothers or John Waters' Crybaby or something.
I mean,
totally.
I don't. That's the thing. I don't understand why Kellogg would disown this. This is essentially a reel.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a really good looking reel. Yeah. Also.
So why would you?
Did you guys sit through the end credits?
I did, yes.
I just wanted to mention the be cool, stay in school at the very end.
Oh, absolutely.
And school is spelled S K O. Yeah, yeah. Wait, it's O's, not O's.
Not O's. Not on our planet. Area.
Yeah, we're in isolation. I'm going crazy.
Are you sure that wasn't just a plug for a skull?
Yo, stay in skull, chewing tobacco. Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of funny to misspell every word of be cool, stay in school.
Oh, man. You actually just reminded me of I did chewing tobacco one time and almost vomited.
I never did.
It was the worst fucking thing. Because I had a buddy who used to do it, and he was like, you just got to try it sometime, man. I was like, all right. And I did. I got like super lightheaded immediately and almost vomited. And I was like, this is not for me.
They call it like the dip, right?
Yeah, dude, that's exactly what it was. You tap that little canister, you get a little dip there.
And it's just like pure nicotine hitting fast, right?
Yep, that's exactly. And dude, yeah, because you're getting that, like, you know, all the stuff's going like sublingually and whatever. And I was like, no, thank you.
No, do some chewing marijuana.
Yeah, well, that's a different story.
No, baby, we have to dip. That's the only way we can breathe on my planet.
When I dip, you dip, we dip.
Nice.
Planet Skull. would anybody recommend this movie? Because that's the fucking end of it all. Anyway,
that would be the planet of ugly smiles.
let's look at the big book of Skull Smiles.
I would. It's a seeing is believing for sure. It's one and done. Really has to be after. It's like it's Gremlin rules, but it's like kind of reverse. Like it has to be after midnight. Yeah. You have to have consumed something, or you know, you're just having a fun time. I don't know. I'm not telling anyone to break edge here, but that's the only way to watch this film. We haven't touched on it that much, how bad of an actor he is, and like barely fills the frame, doesn't know how to look at things or breathe properly. Like it's just, all of it, every time he's on screen, you're like, wow, this is just ill-fitting. It's a recommend for me.
Eric Sisko?
Oh, it's an absolute recommend. It is seeing is believing. It's fun. I think this would be great with a lot of people, but that's illegal. So if there's like a Zoom or some way to do that, I would recommend it. I mean, obviously, imbibe all you can. For some people, that's chewing tobacco. Some people, that's smoking wacky tobacco. And for some people, it's drinking. And for you at home, it's nothing. Just because I agree with Steve, we got to show, you know, tell people you don't have to do this stuff to have fun, folks.
True.
Be cool. Stay in school.
Chris Gavin.
Oh, absolutely. You have to see this thing. All the oddity of it, you know, it being Janusz Kaminski who shot it, and watching him be an actor, which is amazing to behold. It's all worth it. It's complete nonsense and, you know, incoherent. But yeah, it's totally worth seeing.
I will say, sober Andrew at 11:30 this morning watching this movie, absolutely not. What a fucking supreme waste of time. This is terrible. It's incompetently made. Yes, it looks good, but everything about it is awful. Andrew 8 years ago fucking stoned off his ass. And, you know, Andrew stoned off his ass any other time. Absolutely. I think, though, to Eric's point about seeing it in a group, that really helps. If you guys want to get, a Zoom party, like a watch party going on. This movie, I don't think, is on Netflix, so you can't go that route. But it's on Amazon Prime. And maybe set something up with your friends and check out the movie. Because otherwise, it is just fucking insufferable. But I do remember the first time seeing it, having a blast with all three of you in the room.
God
Steve.
Damn it!
I just can't sanction his fucking buffoonery otherwise. Or in watching Ninja Turtles 2: Secret of the Ooze, you get your fucking fill of him for sure.
Better
Don't worry
movie
about it.
For sure.
Plus Ninja Turtles. But with that, that is Cool as Ice from 1991, directed by music video directing pornographer David Kellogg. Whatever, man. Everybody's got to make a living. If you want more We Hate Movies, check out whmpodcast.com or head over to patreon.com/wehatemovies. Tons of bonus content flying around that thing this month. We got John Carpenter's The Thing for our exclusive We Love Movies episode. What are we doing for the April Animation Damnation?
We did a
Steve?
Gumby, my friend.
That's right, Gumby. I forgot. It's already the middle of the month. Yeah. I'm like, surely we haven't released Animation Damnation yet, but it is out. It is Gumby. That is a fucking wild ride.
Qui-Gon Jinn on the Gleep Glossary. That's our show. We talk about Star Wars characters. It's a lot of fun, and that one gets a little crazy.
That one gets really crazy. We also did, we got our regular scheduled Nexus and Back from the Dead, Chris Cabin. What feature did we bring back?
We're bringing back Side Order of Sleaze.
Oh, yeah.
An episode on The Exterminator, 1980, is coming to you.
Pretty wonderful little movie, honestly.
I'm watching it in like T-minus 10 minutes, so I'll let you know. Although I probably already saw it.
I'm telling you right now, Steve, this is a movie that I know for a fact we watched at the Astoria apartment.
God damn it!
But no, Steve, no, here's the thing. For that Side Order of Sleaze, I will be you, because I know that I've seen this movie, but I have no idea what happens in it. It's something Vietnam veteran.
Uh-huh.
See, that's it. All I got for you. There's a dude who was in Vietnam.
All those are at various different tiers. Check out patreon.com/wehatemovies to figure out which is which. But $8 gets you everything, including a Justice League commentary and a ton of other shit.
You better believe it. And also, we should mention that the dude who wrote this movie also wrote the third episode of a little show called Beverly Hills 90210. Oh. He is the guy responsible for writing the first episode with Dylan McKay and at the Green Room, which we covered on our brand new main feed show, Melrose 210. It's a quarantine podcast we're doing on the free feed to give you guys a little something extra during this crazy time. And every Monday, we are talking about a Beverly Hills 90210 episode. And every Thursday, we are talking about a Melrose Place episode. So check that out. That's on the free feed.
Isn't that funny, though, that like it really shows you how important the performer is. You get this guy writing cool young dude dialogue. Luke Perry nails it.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
Fucking Vanilla Ice, forget about it.
Absolutely. Now, Steve, as far as you haven't said otherwise, I feel you would have brought it up by now. At no point was there a Vanilla Ice cameo on Beverly Hills 90210?
No, the closest you get is Color Me Bad, which is a pretty good episode.
Oh, interesting. I'll look forward to that. Also speaking of the free feed, though, of course, as like every Tuesday here at We Hate Movies, the show rolls on even through this quarantine time. So, Steve, what are we talking about next week?
Quarantine announcement, ladies and gentlemen. Things are changing around here for the next for the month of May.
I forgot. Technically, this should be the start of the summer blockbuster extravaganza.
Yeah, usually summer blockbuster extravaganza starts in June, but we want to, you know, everybody's fucking going out of their mind at home, so we want to start a little early, get the party going, and we're doing it by doing every single Pirates of the Caribbean movie back to back to back all the way through the first week of June. So fuck you, everybody, we're doing
it. Yeah. You got to deal with that. If you don't want to, Patreon, there's a lot of bonus episodes you can listen to instead.
Yeah, but absolutely, dude. You know, starting next week, for the next 5 weeks, We Hate Movies hits the high seas, my friend.
Oh, yeah, we're getting shipwrecked.
Oh, dude, I guarantee you by week two, I'll be fucking sick of it.
Oh, I've only seen three of these, and I hate them. Yeah. So it's going to be truly something.
I remember kind of liking that first one when it came out, because I was like, oh, this is a fun adventure movie. I'm kind of into it. But then, man, did this series sink. So I'm excited to kind of dig into this thing again.
Absolutely. I haven't seen any of these movies in years, so it's going to be really something. But until next week, with Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
Chris Gavin.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.